Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports, brought to you by Gary's Trailer Repair, Here Clear, Reliable Banner, and the Late Model Truck Series. I'm your Plan B host, Cindy Clark, joined by the computer maestro, Matt the Freak Esposito, and the multi-bomber champion, Gary Wyatt. I don't even need to introduce this guy, because if you don't know who Chuck D is, you're living under a rock.
Living under a rock.
He's our Plan B guest.
I'm the last minute guy.
No, we got to find out what in the heck happened at Havasu this week.
Oh, yeah. It was good racing, but it wasn't good for me. Well, it was good for me that I didn't get my car wrecked.
Okay, so what car did you bring down there?
We just bring Ethan's modified with the 31 car. We didn't bring.
So you had one car. You went down to Havasu Speedway this weekend, and you did not do what Doug did.
No, I didn't do what Ham. I did not do what Ham did. I did not have the problems that Ron Reed had, or the rest of the modified field out there.
What happened to your car?
We were having a problem last year with our steering box, and I replaced it with a brand spanking new, out-of-the-box, sweet manufactured steering box.
Oh, and that was your problem.
Something happened to that box.
Oh, sweet.
Sweet, yeah.
Are you sure it was a sweet? Because it's not, like, I've had that experience when you go, like, AutoZone.
No, it was sweet. It came right out of that sweet box. Well, anyway, what happened was Ethan was complaining during practice one that he was having a issue with the wheel. He would input the wheel, and then the wheel would stop functioning, and then a fraction of a second later the wheel would come back in again. Uh-huh. And that was, so something happened to the wheel, so it's already in a box and it's already on its way back to North Carolina to go get dynoed back there. So I've already put in a box, sent it on my UPS truck today for big money to send it back there and go get done.
So basically, when you put the cars together, you don't like do hot laps around your neighborhood like the rest of us?
Nah. Nah. I quit doing hot laps around when I got rid of my super stock car.
Oh, yeah.
My neighbors are like, oh, they're going to take it for her again. So, but no, yeah, I don't do that with the modified. I don't even fit in that modified. Hell, Ethan barely fits in that modified.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's almost as big as you.
He is. He doesn't weigh anything near what I weigh, but because he runs every day and he exercises every day and does his football again, they're back to doing baseball now. So and I should
say
football.
Yeah, full disclosure, he was my first choice, but Dad said, no,
yeah.
He's got football from Tuesday 6 to 8.
That's why I found out that I was second,
so
you know, second
fiddle
to the first generation De Guevara gets third fiddle, you know, so yeah. But you could have had his old man in here.
He didn't want to come.
Yeah, he's afraid of the microphone. So.
Well, you're the dad. Tell him, Joe, your buddy in here.
I can't tell Joe anything. Joseph's a big boy, and he's all grown up now, so he doesn't need me to tell him anything anymore. So. He's all grown up.
We always listen to what Dad says, though.
Brad Thompson, nice to see you too.
Aw.
I'm just going to say hello to the people that are over there, and you guys can all switch over to here. Let's see. Right there.
On Wheels Now.
You can switch over to On Wheels Now, and then you can see everybody who's in here, not just me, because I know you don't want to look at just me.
No, you're the best for sure.
But it's but at Havasu they had every modified out there. I think there was 13 of them that was out there. We were 14. We were the 13th car.
There's your problem.
Yeah.
13.
Yeah, we were the 13th. Modified there, and we ended up putting it back in the trailer because we weren't going to take no chances. I just spent, you know, $5,000 putting a new clip under the car.
But it sounds like you dodged a bullet.
We did. I think so. I think we dodged a bullet because everybody had damage some way or another. And but definitely with Doug Hamm getting into, he ran over the left rear with his right front of Brian Reed's car. So Brian Reed. minding his own business on track, Doug got into him a little bit, which was just a racing deal. And then Doug actually drove in the window of Brian Reed's car and tore the window net off its mount. And the bar from the window net came across Brian's helmet and actually split his helmet open, cracked it in half, put a big crack across the face of his helmet and broke his helmet. Doug fortunately, he got to continue racing, but definitely Brian did not. So
is he all right?
He was all right. He said he was a little bit sore and a little bit surprised. But I talked to him after the race was over, and he said he was all right. You know, I mean, lucky everything worked the way it was supposed to work. He was a little surprised to see the tire of Doug Hamm's car in his car. So, he was a little surprised at that. But I guess by not racing, we got lucky and didn't tear up our car.
Did you stay for the rest of the show?
I stayed for the first half of the late model race, and from what I did hear that they're in the late model race, that there was a lot of carnage near the end of that, including one of your people that are always on here, Johnny Spilotro. I guess he was running okay, and I guess he moved up and down between 7th and 5th or 3rd or something, and then somehow or another, I wasn't there to see it, but somehow or another, there was some carnage near the end of the main event, and they ended up he ended up losing the whole side of his super late. So that was obviously unfortunate for Mr. Spilotro to lose the whole side of his car with just a few laps left to go. But I guess there was quite a bit of carnage that took place in that race near the end.
It kind of sounds like racing at the Bullring. How would you compare racing at Havasu with the Bullring?
Oh, they're not. They're apples and oranges. The Havasu's tight and slick, and you got to be, you know, you only get to be on the pedal for about a second. The nut behind the wheel. I don't think it's much different. I think every racing sanctioned body, I don't care where you go. I mean, we go down to Tucson, they're wrecking down there. You go to Madera, they're wrecking up there. You go to Havasu, they're wrecking there. You go to the Bullring, they're wrecking there. So I think it's just part of it. I think the kids have all got a lot more money than you know, so than some of us older folks do. So I think that's a bit of an issue. So, but that's for a whole nother show.
No, we keep talking about that in this show for sure.
No, that's a whole other show. When you got more sponsorship, more money. Hell, I'm trying to find a sponsor just to pay for six sets of tires for Joe's car. I'm trying to find a sponsor for. I'm only looking for $3,500. I don't ask people for money ever. I've been racing now for 48 years. And
wait, what?
I've been in racing. I'm 62, so, and I started at 15. So do the math. You know, so it's I've been around this stuff for a whole long time, and I've never asked anybody for money until now. I'm really asking people for money now.
Well, it's a great opportunity too, so that's pretty reasonable. So $3,500, and then where are you guys racing this season?
We're gonna do Madera. We're gonna do all six races at Madera.
Nice.
So that's why I'm only looking for six sets of tires.
And Madera's
for Joe's
televised.
Car. Well, Madera's a lot of money. I mean, I already got to put a set of tires on Ethan's car when I show up out there. So that's, you know, that's my deal. But going out there, every time I go to Madera or each time I've been to Madera, it's $2,000 out of my pocket. So,
but those races are televised. So if you're a sponsor on your car at Madera,
they're going to televise our races. They're not going to televise. I think they've got just a couple of them on our schedule for the MAV TV deal.
Mm-hmm.
But they do go Facebook Live for every event there. So there is exposure for that. But on the MAV TV side, I think there's one or two races that they're going to have the 602 mod. Oh, that's not true. There's a Northern State Mods that we can also run. And then there's a specific 602 race and maybe one or two of those that are specific to Madera for that.
I love Madera's 2 groove track.
Yeah. Absolutely, it is. It's fast no matter which side of the racetrack you're on there. Mm-hmm. It's a good racetrack. But, you know, it's a long ways to go. It's 6 hours towing one way and 6 hours back and hotel for Friday and Saturday and tires and fuel and entries and the whole thing. So it costs you a couple of grand to go. So
yeah, for sure.
If I could take $650 off my $2,000 every race weekend just for buying a set of Joe tires for Joe, I'd be happy with that.
That's cool. So Joe's racing Madera.
Mm-hmm.
And then what are you doing with Ethan?
Well, Ethan's going to run Madera too. They're both going to run together. That was the reason that I bought Kevin Terrell's car from him, which was the one that Aaron McMoran used to drive. I bought that car just for Joe, so that before I get out of racing altogether, which is not very long from right now.
He said that last time.
Not very long from now, because
that's
Ethan will be.
Said last time.
Hey,
Doug,
Ethan's going to be off to college.
Get out of it.
Well, I mean,
it's in your blood.
It's in my blood. I've been around it since the day I was born when my dad was racing jalopies,
back
in the old days.
It seems like 6 months ago you were saying how you're going to retire.
I am going to retire, and I've still got that goal, but I told everybody, and you know it. Now he knows it. He knows it. I got to wait till Ethan's out of high school. And after that, I'll maybe run a race a year.
And then it'll be until he's out of college. And then.
No, he's going to be gone off to college, and I'm not going anywhere else. But anyway, I got Joe a car, and I bought it for him, and he's rebuilt it and fixed it all up and got it the way he wants it to be. And so Joe and Ethan both run the same event with the same cars, the same class. So, and there was actually a deal where Joe and Ethan, before Joe's car was done, that they had themselves a little rivalry going. Who was going to give who the chrome horn first?
And?
The winner of that, who's given who the chrome horn, was Ethan gave it to his old man driving by him. So, Joe had out-qualified him at Havasu. And Ethan finally got into the momentum of running Havasu with his mod and started catching his dad by a straightaway. He ran his dad down, and coming off of turn three, Ethan got in the back of his own man and turned him sideways, and Joe went up the racetrack a little bit, and as his son went by him on the inside, Joe had his lucky finger sticking out the window of his car as his son drove by him. So his daddy gave him the love.
That's
as
crazy.
He was going by. So the rivalry was over, and Ethan was happy to give his dad the chrome horn as he was going by, passing. So that was fun for me. I mean, it was exciting to hear them, you know, laughing about it at the end. But that was the whole point to it. I finally got my son and my grandson to race in the same event.
Well, now we got to get you a car.
Well, I did actually get a car offered to me so that we could actually do that, but the Bullring didn't end up opening. Doug Hamm actually offered me his modified for a race. I believe it was for Havasu when the Bullring first closed down, and I never talked to Doug about it directly, but I was told Doug had offered me to go run his car at Madera. He offered me the car at Madera to go run, so that me and Ethan and Joe could actually race
that
in the same
cool.
class. So
yeah.
It would have been fun. I was with my tiny crew that I have. Somebody had to be there to spot for Ethan, and I had Timmy Masterang. He spots for Joseph.
Yeah, I got lots of friends, so they could spot for you guys. Don't let that be the
people
stop.
Have, yeah. So,
I'll
but actually, Doug
Hamm's,
Doug Hamm's car is our old car, so, you know, it's a... he ended up buying it, and it went full circle. But it was originally Joe and I's old car, my old car. So
if you're, let's say, all three of you are in the race, and your grandson comes to give you the chrome horn, are you going to also give him the salute?
I'm not going to one finger salute my grandson. I might one finger salute my son for doing it, but not my grandson. I give him the wave. I give him the parade wave as he goes by. Sorry, you know, Grandpa was in the way apparently. So. But, you know, I won more main events out there in the Bullring than my grandson. I'm not afraid to go.
He might not be able to pass.
He might not be able to catch the old grandpa. So, yeah, it'll be.
But at Madera, though.
At Madera.
He's probably got more laps than you know.
Well, he does. I haven't got any laps at Madera. I haven't been out there and spending any time on the racetrack at Madera. I haven't done Tucson. I'd like to do Madera. I think it would be pretty interesting to go out there and do a little bit of time.
Yeah. You would like it.
Yeah, I think so. I think I would. I think I would enjoy Madera, but I just don't have, nothing to drive. So, but it's okay. I don't want to tear up somebody else's stuff either. I don't want it to get tore up, and I don't want to tear up somebody else's stuff. So I probably
it's not
wouldn't
like you
drive it.
Fix it.
Well, yeah, but it's not like I would drive it like I would my own. you know, with my car, I'm going to stick it on the edge and be out there all the time, where somebody else's car, I'm going to be a little more conservative with it. And so it's only logical to do that with somebody else's piece. You know?
I think about, there's like, I've been accused of being a factory driver before, where I just show up with my helmet. So, you know, I mean, you got to switch your mentality now in your retirement, be a factory driver, just show up with your helmet. It doesn't matter because you don't have to fix it.
No, I got to pay to fix it though. So
yeah, he's got
to. Yeah, you got to pony up the money. So if I put up the money to fix a car that I tore up, then it comes out of my racing budget, which comes away from Joe and comes away from Ethan.
Oh yeah, that's true. But if you get sponsors.
Yeah, if I can get, like I said, I'm not asking people for a group of money, just enough to get, you know, six sets of tires for the six races that we're running for Joe at Madera. I'm not really looking for anybody's money anymore. It's, I've asked enough people for money, and it seems like most people don't want to part with it anymore. Or
I think it's just this year. This year's weird.
I'm different. It probably could just be me.
No, I think it's the year because a lot of people are worried. No, I mean, you guys, the team has a lot to offer. If you were a sponsor was looking for exposure.
Yeah.
That's great exposure.
You get twice as much. I mean, if they're going to sponsor the six tires or six sets of tires for Ethan's car or for Joe's car, it's going to go on. The name's going to go on Ethan's car, too.
Right.
It's going to go on my race trader, too, you know. So there's nothing wrong with getting twice as
and
much exposure.
You, it's not like you're shy. You tell everybody.
I do.
So they would get tons of exposure.
Not afraid of one. I'm not afraid of one of these, and I'm certainly not afraid to tell everybody that's out there what I got.
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm okay with it.
And it's not like you haven't given over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. I've given a lot of kids a lot of stuff, and all them bandos that I had, and a lot of kids got some free rides, and on the people, even some of the people that I have given free rides to their kids on that have
money.
You know, they have some money, and I've
businesses.
Asked them, and I get the same, like, as if I'm, you know, blind in one eye and can't see out of the other, you know, like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, you know, so.
No, but this year's been weird for businesses, like, we're not always sure we have enough to make payroll, because one week we're like, okay, we're going to get back on track and open our doors, and then it's like, oh, no, we're shut down again.
Yeah.
So I think this year just financially has been weird for businesses. You don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
So even if you have the money, you're going to be like, I'm going to keep it just in case.
Well, it's true, because for the last 18 years, 15 years, I was an independent owner operator of my business too. And I'm not anymore. And so that six figure income that I had before is no longer a six figure income. So, you know, it makes a difference when you're only on a five figure income, you know, so it makes a huge difference. So that's why, you know, some of the people still think that, you know, that Chuck's got all the money in the world and, you know, I can do whatever I want to, but I can't no more.
Yeah.
You know, and right now, being that I'm working for a company and drawing a salary, it makes a big difference for me because I need their benefits and I need their company car and I need their, you know, the things that they offer, their retirement pensions and stuff like that. I need that right now. And that's why I switched over because, you know, the money's great where I was, but, I'm not there anymore. So it's gone to the other side.
Yeah.
So
for any businesses that are out there, what a great opportunity to get exposure on
absolutely
multiple vehicles with the proven winning family racing team.
Yeah, we're here. We've been doing this. I started doing it when I was racing cars when I was 15. Joseph started running carts when he was preteen, and Ethan's been racing since he was 9 years old. Oh, he's actually 8 and a half. So he had to wait for his birthday.
It's hard to believe he's over
16. He's only 16. He just turned 16 and just got his license and has his own little Toyota 4Runner he runs around in now.
Aww.
Yeah. So he got himself a little 4Runner that his sister-in-law's mother sold him because she don't drive no more.
Okay.
So they bought it out. His dad and his mom bought it for him out in California, gave it to him for his birthday, and so Ethan's got himself his own car and his own license now, and he's an independent little man now.
Now you can't tell him nothing, right?
No.
Nope. I would love to be inside the brain of these kids when they go for their driving test after driving in a race car and just having these instructors. Okay, up here, I'm going to want you to turn left. Yeah, no, I'm pretty good at doing that.
No, my experience, the driving test is like nothing to do with driving. It's, you just have to memorize the laws. It's mostly a laws test.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, they had to take Ethan to, his dad had to take Ethan up to Reno to get his driving test done.
Because they're not testing here, right?
No, they're testing here, but it was so far out.
Oh,
that,
wow.
That Ethan needed to get his license.
So they wouldn't, they're not doing anything in the interim? Like there's no like, go ahead and, because of COVID and testing's 3 months out, you can just get a permit?
Well, he had his permit and he did his written test. And his written test apparently was supposed to expire like, you know, in November or something, November 30, November something or another. And it was supposed to expire. And he didn't want to go back and do the written thing all over again and do other things. So
they were going to make him do that, even
though
it's not his fault that he couldn't get an appointment?
So they were going to make him do it again because it was going to expire. Well, he couldn't get an appointment here. It was really far out here in Vegas, and you can't go to Pahrump and do it.
Why?
Because the DMV would not allow you to go to a rural DMV and take your driving test.
Oh.
You could only do it either in Vegas or in
Reno. So they went all the way to Reno?
Yep. His dad went up there and they were going to spend the weekend up there. And the weekend they went up there, his driving test was on a Friday or something, and they were going to spend the weekend. And they drove all the way up to Reno, and a snowstorm was coming through on Saturday. So they packed up their bags and drove back home. They just did the round trip one day. So they had to go up and back and, you know, Friday and Saturday, but they drove up to there to go get us just to make sure Ethan got his license.
Oh, wow.
So his dad did this 8-hour run up and 8-hour run back right away. So
I figured they would have found a racetrack. Isn't Fernley?
They would have probably done that had this snowstorm wasn't coming through, but that's what they ended up doing. So anyway, Ethan's a licensed driver now.
That's pretty cool.
But as far as the kids go, yeah, he's like, yeah, I got this. he's all right.
Yeah.
He's, I got this. You know, the instructor was, you know, he passed. So I think he made one minor error in driving or something, and I think he rolled a stop sign or something. So, you know, his typical kid, yeah, I got this.
Yeah.
Keep on digging, you know, or something. He did something. His dad said he did one thing wrong or something, but.
But if the instructors really knew what these kids were capable of,
yeah,
like they'd be able to whip that car, donuts, go the other way. And
Well, the funny thing is his dad had told me a little funny thing about this. He had said to me that they had went to the DMV that morning to go watch where the instructors did their driving test around and just watch the different people doing it, making their laps. So they knew where they knew the route.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so,
I did that with my kids.
Yeah.
We went and drove that same route.
They knew the route.
The only issue with my son failed the first time because... Because
you taught him?
No.
So he knew the route, too.
No, someone came down Flamingo, and they were speeding. So when my son wanted to change lanes, they, like, beeped the horn and zipped by him. And because they beeped the horn, the lady was like, well, you know, I'm going to mark you. And he's like, it wasn't my fault. And then that turned into a big argument, and then
there you go. Argue with the DMV instructor.
Yeah,
that'll work.
It was a 7-day penalty.
My God.
A seven-day penalty. He couldn't retake the test for 7 days, and she said, "If you don't leave right now, I'm gonna make it 30."
Whoa. Oh.
Oh.
Oh shit! No kidding. Wow.
Yep.
That's not good, man.
Vinny.
That's not good at all. Not when you get told you just keep talking like that. I want to spank you harder.
See,
talking to your kid.
I couldn't wait to get my license.
You keep laughing at me when I'm spanking you. I'm going to spank you harder.
I couldn't wait to get my license. So there I was. You know, my birthday, go take the test, get in the car. We start going. We're still right by the DMV. Go up, go around the block. It says, go ahead and parallel park. Well, there's two spaces, a bigger space and a smaller space. So I pulled into the one that was closest to me, which was the smaller space. And he said, all right, drive back to the DMV. I'm like, oh, what the hell did I do? He's like, oh, no, if you can park like that, I'm sure you can drive.
Oh, that's cool.
I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah, because parking and driving, those are similar.
Relatively, yeah, they're all the same. Yeah, not moving and moving is the same. Yeah. So
Ethan, so he's doing football right now.
I do baseball.
Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's baseball.
Yeah, I said football, but I meant baseball.
Okay.
He's on baseball. They're doing, they're doing their practice stuff, and they'll do the tournaments. From what I was told by his dad, they'll do the tournaments outside of Nevada right now. They can't do them in Nevada. So they'll play ball, but they'll play it in either Arizona or Utah unless something changes here.
Mm-hmm.
So between racing and baseball and not football right now, the kid's busy.
What's he thinking about for his future? Have you guys talked about it? Like, is he going to be a sports kid or
You know, he's moved around, like every teenager. You know, one day he wants to be the president of the United States, and the next minute he wants to be a firefighter, and the next minute he wants to be in the military, and the next minute, you know. So
okay.
he's got the same thing going on with the, you know, he's got his goals, but
a girl could change all that.
Yeah. Well, don't think he's that. I mean, not that he doesn't like them, but they're a distraction for him right now. So
we can be.
Yeah, you're a distraction. So he's just, for him, his goal right now is to work on his baseball scholarship. He wants to try to get a scholarship, not only in baseball, but he wants to try to get a dual scholarship in football and baseball.
Wow.
So if he can get a dual one and get his tuition or most of his tuition covered with that, then
if
that's
he can at
goal.
Least get his 2 years in,
yeah,
and then he can make a decision on where he wants to go.
Yeah, because he's really good at both his sports that he's involved in. So, I mean, he's a catcher, so he's in every half inning of baseball, you know, all nine of them. So he's a catcher there. Right now he's playing 18U and 16U, and he's considered the old guy in the 16U class because he's the only 16-year-old in his U class, and he's the biggest kid in his U class.
Oh,
so
wow.
I guess the kids that are playing 16 under, they are calling him Gramps. So he's already knows Gramps. So and then the 18U, those guys, when they go to play a tournament and they need to bring up another catcher, they'll take him with them. From what the kids are telling me, they'll take Ethan with them to go play ball when they do go to travel someplace. So if they're going to do a 3-day tournament or something, they'll bring an extra catcher to give their catcher, you know,
right,
one day
yeah.
off. So, and then, but
that's quite an honor, you know, to be picked for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause you know, he's pretty good at it, and he pays attention to what he's supposed to be doing. And then at 16U, obviously he's their starting catcher no matter what. You know, he's going to be there unless he gets moves with the 18U guys, then they'll bring in their backup catcher.
Very cool.
But between racing and catching and football and everything else, you know, we've jumped through hoops to get him to the racetrack on time.
Yeah.
You know, he's at one sport all the way down on the 215 Beltway south end. And Durango, and his car sitting and staging in the main events, getting ready to roll off, and they're pulling into the bull ring, and you know there's three people trying to dress him in out of his. He shows up in his underwear, and you're trying to dress him into his fire suit and tying his shoes for him and put him in the car. We've done that, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, we're trying.
But he's done it. Like, how many kids do we know now that would be like, I'm tired. I just finished baseball. Like the fact that he just gets in the car and
yeah.
does.
Yeah, and at that time that had actually happened when we had him do that, Tim Richter was actually really cool about it. Tim Richter had heard that they were coming down the Las Vegas Boulevard or down Hollywood, and they had actually held the track up.
Oh,
and,
that's cool.
Yeah, and he had actually sent Tim Richter had actually sent safety onto the racetrack and go run a bunch of laps like they were looking for debris. And then Ethan and Joe pull in, and everybody was there getting Ethan's shoes tied and his driving shoes on.
That's huge because Richter is like, schedule. Like, oh, 8 laps, that's it. 8 minutes, you're out.
Yeah.
So
no,
for
he,
him to hold that up.
Yeah, he did. He actually did a good job.
There was debris on the track.
But Richter doesn't care. He'd be. He was very strict on
Richter
time.
Richter don't want debris on the track. It might flatten a tire.
This is true, which would delay. Because
yes,
he does not like delays. So
yeah, no, he was really good about it. He knew it was and they knew Ethan was coming. In fact, they had even somehow made contact with them and made sure they knew where they were and how far out they were. And they rolled all the cars onto the track.
Oh,
and
wow.
Ethan's car,
and still,
our superstock car, was the only one still sitting in staging when Joe pulled up there.
Oh, dang.
So it was, and it took him maybe all of 2 minutes to get out there, but it was just long enough for safety to go around the track really, really, really
yeah.
slow, looking for debris. So, but they were all on track. But, you know, I mean, it was, you know, he wants to race cars, and he wants to do his football, and he wants to do his baseball. So, you know, they work hard at it. And the kids, and he works hard at it, and he works hard at his school. And but like any 16-year-old, he's got his attitude, you know. He's got his personality. So, but we'll take that. I'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're doing Madera and all of the Havasu races?
No, we're gonna run for sure all six races at Madera, I'm not sure how many events we're actually gonna be able to make at
Havasu.
At Havasu
because of the dates or
no, because Havasu, Joe doesn't really enjoy racing Havasu because it's too slow. Joe wants to go faster. Ethan wants to go faster. So. We'll make the races we can make out there, but they both really want to go faster and they want to race harder and you know do more together. So we're not sure how many more races we'll make at Havasu.
So Havasu is more of a so you don't really need a big motor. It's more like a driver track, or it's just too slow.
Have you not
to
raced Havasu?
I have not raced Havasu because no one is letting me drive their car.
Tell you what, the legend cars, the Bandoleros, the factory stocks, and your super stocks are that racetrack is suited for those cars. It really is. And it's really a slick racetrack. There's no grip in it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So you've got to be a driver. I think the modifieds and the late model cars, it's a little.
And they don't
you've got to nail the setup in your car in order to run that racetrack well.
Oh,
it really does take a. You have to be a driver, just a horsepower car. You
right.
got to drive. It's a little different.
I noticed that they're racing the Southwest Tour trucks at Havasu. How come there's no late model truck series trucks there, Gary?
Because we don't have the date yet.
You're working on it.
Yes.
Okay, I do see Havasu put out their schedule, and they only have like three for sure, because the remainder of the dates are pending city approval.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like, did they mention that? Like,
yep.
If you guys are all good and wear your mask, then we can have more?
Not
or
necessarily.
Are people watching,
not, Arizona's a lenient state on the mask thing. They're pretty lenient on that. What they are doing is Arizona, this is what we're told straight from Bill Roshan. The racetrack gets two race approvals at a time for now. If the COVID continues to spike there in that state,
they
will not give them the dates. If the COVID stays normal or it's at now or below,
yeah, but
they
who's
will,
setting those numbers? That's
but they won't. But they won't give him more than two at a time.
Yeah, but the numbers. Let's go back to the numbers. So, is it people that have gotten tested? Is it positive tests? Are the tests accurate? Are people just running down there to get tested?
Well,
is it death? What number?
My thing with this whole deal is that every time you get a test and it comes back positive, I'm cool with you getting a positive test, but you've gotten over it.
Yeah.
So why do they keep telling you've got 200,000 cases in Nevada? Okay, but 180,000 of those cases are no longer existing because
right.
they're over
and,
it.
And tests with
so
symptoms
or without
symptoms. So now we have
20,000 in the state, really.
Tests with symptoms or without symptoms.
Yeah.
And what if you have no symptoms? Was it maybe just a bad test, a false positive?
Well, it's possible. But, I mean, even if you have that, if you think about what they're telling you, they just said they have they just went over 200,000 cases in Nevada. Okay, so you went over 200,000 cases.
Of
COVID, positive tests for COVID. So out of those 200,000 cases, 180,000 people have gotten over it. That's since the start. That's not current.
Right.
200,000 people currently have COVID.
Right.
So that's the number that's kind of weird for me. I want to see the number of how many people are currently having COVID, not the people who have been tested. And we've had this many cases since COVID began.
And I don't know, maybe I had COVID. I never tested positive, but I had a cold-like symptoms. Is that
cold
like
symptoms? I had COVID.
But
had
it affects everyone different.
I was out of work for a month.
I gave it
to my wife. Yeah, I got it. I got it in Texas over Earl Wayne West's house.
Oh.
Yeah, I was in Texas and I was looking at some property over there, and I got it over Halloween weekend. So, and I went to work after I got back. I came back on a Monday. I didn't feel good on Tuesday, Wednesday. I got tested on Thursday, and they came back and said, you're positive. I got tested on Wednesday. I got my results back on Thursday. They said, you're positive. I did not go to work the rest of that day. And I get Thanksgiving in there. So the way the weekends and then
mm-hmm.
my 80 hours of sick time that you get from your employer that is paid, ended up giving me the entire month off. So I got a whole month of time off, which I needed. I gave it to my wife. Unfortunately, my wife still don't have any taste in her mouth. She can't taste food still. So, but it's not a cold. It is way, way like 100 times worse than a cold.
Well, I had no taste and no smell, but it was just like a cold. So if I went to the hospital, I'm considered a COVID case?
You probably would have been. I mean, they would have declared anybody. If you, how many flu symptoms have we had in the year? Right now, we normally by this time of the year, you've got 100,000 cases of flu.
No,
of regular flu.
Right.
Such thing as
well, none
flu
of them people have flu anymore.
There's no such thing as a flu anymore.
So how? So they're basing the races on what number then?
I think part of the issue is they. Once you have it, doesn't mean that you're immune. And the fact that you can get reinfected, that's causing part of the problem. Because if you were immune to it, if you got it and you were immune,
yeah,
then yeah, you have a positive test, 14 days, go racing.
It ain't 14 days. I'll tell you that right now.
But you know,
after the last symptom, I think.
But you know what I'm saying?
You
tested positive. Once you get a negative test, if you are truly immune, you can go on your way and go. But that's not happening.
If you have 3 straight days in a row, this is what the health department told me. If you have 3 straight days in a row with no fever, unmedicated,
mm-hmm.
no Tylenol, no nothing, 3 days straight in a row, you no longer have the
You can no longer pass it?
You can no longer have that problem. So, but you have to go 3 days straight, and this is what the health department told me, without any symptoms of a fever for 3 days in a row, unmedicated.
But I've heard of people that had COVID and their fever was like it came and went. So like they felt like they were hot, and by the time they found a thermometer, it had already gone back down.
Mm-hmm.
So that's hard because if it's just spiky?
It did it to the same to me. I mean, I would spike for a little while, then I would not be spiking, and then I would be spiking again, and I'd wake up in the middle of the night, and my bed was like I was in a pool of sweat.
Wow.
I mean, literally a pool of it. So it was terrible. It was a terrible thing to have happen. My bones ached. My joints would lock up. You know, you're sitting there watching television, doing nothing. All of a sudden, you can't move your finger. It's like it's just locked up.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't move. And then a minute later, it's all normal. So
how was your breathing? Was your breathing?
Well, I had pneumonia in both lungs. So I went to the Henderson Hospital here. I had pneumonia in both my lungs. So they did my breathing treatments on me. They did that. And then I got some sprays, did my breathing treatments in. I got some prednisone steroids. So I got that
sounds
from
serious.
Them. It was serious.
Like Wayne Morris, he had COVID. He said he just lost smell and had a bad headache.
Yeah. Well, there's a claim to have is a simpler version of it. I'm sorry, I didn't.
So
get
you
it.
Got the special.
I got the special all-in-one
XL
package so,
version.
Yeah, I got the big version. My wife got the big version. But I have heard that there's a smaller version of it out there, or what would be the flu-type symptom.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, so you get the flu-type symptom, mm-hmm. but when you get the regular flu, you still lose your sense of taste and smell,
right?
Because you've got the flu.
Right.
So.
So,
did you get the flu, or did you not get the
right.
flu? But if Wayne goes down there and goes and gets tested, he could come up positive.
Right.
Not for the flu.
He tested positive. So that's the thing. So they're basing the racing, whether they can race or not, on numbers. I don't believe all the numbers.
Well,
because you can't trust people.
And that's a big problem.
That's the main problem. That's
I wouldn't come in here if I had it.
No,
why would I?
You can't trust the doctors, not the people.
Well, I also, being in the health industry, know that if somebody comes to the hospital and you know, maybe they had congestive heart failure, like they were going to die anyways. And then they tested positive for COVID and then they died. They put COVID as the reason for the death
mm-hmm.
when they were going to die.
Because
of
the state
heart
got
failure
paid money for it.
But were they going to die now? Or were they going to die 6 months from now?
Don't know.
Well,
who knew that?
That's the issue.
You can't.
That's why it's marked that way.
Right.
Because they died yeah. now.
During a COVID pandemic.
Well, I got to tell you what. And when you go back out and you're dying in your race car and you wreck your race car going into turn one and you died from it, I'm sorry. You died
you
from it. You
COVID.
Died from COVID. I'm just saying.
You got COVID going down the front stretch.
Son of a bitch. You died. The COVID got you down the front stretch. You hit the fence.
So are they?
That's because COVID's smart enough to know where it is.
I'm on the front stretch, wide open throttle, and I'm dead. And hit the fence. You know, what are you going
to
do?
So are the racetracks going to be held to number of deaths?
Yeah,
or
by COVID.
Number of infections?
Number of deaths by COVID.
Oh, my
so.
God.
And like Chuck says, they're only approving them two races at a time.
Yeah, there's
what
only, yeah. yeah they're only giving them two
what
races
number?
At a time. So it's that's all the state's going to give Bill Rochon down there. He's going to give him two race weekends at a time so he can sell his tickets. He can only sell it. He can only sell so many of his tickets. You have to purchase them in advance over there. And then once you purchase them in advance, then the tickets are sold out and there's no more people allowed. Now, that's in the grandstands.
But does it – I mean, you're outside.
It doesn't come into play for the pits.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or track – staff track days.
Or staff track – yeah. Or staff days. You can have 1,000 staff members working that day.
Right.
Yeah, same thing. Well, it's the same thing for over there. You can have all the pit people you want to go in the pits over there. But I always know this
at Madera, I heard you can't. And you have to, like, wear your mask. If you're in your pits,
all
you have to
time,
wear a mask.
At there.
Even in your own pits?
Yeah, all the way except when you're in your trailer.
Oh, wow.
If you were inside your hauler at Madera, this was the last thing they told us last year when we were there. Even if you were in your own pit box,
you still had
to wear it because people were wandering between pit boxes.
Right.
Well, but if you were in your trailer, you could take your mask down, eat, drink, whatever you got to do. But when you walked out of that trailer, you had to have your mask on and you had to have it up.
Because COVID knows. If you're not in your trailer, it's not going to transmit. But
as soon
as you step out of your trailer, you can transmit.
Now, let's keep in mind, we're talking about Arizona and California.
California is really bad. I mean, Arizona is not so bad.
Don't go. I mean, Nevada, we're the worst.
COVID knows where you're at. COVID knows where you're at. Don't worry.
No, it knows
what you're doing. If you're off your trailer or out of your trailer.
I'm just saying the bullring doesn't have to do what they're doing to all of us. They don't have to.
COVID
even
knows
the autonomous
if you're in
guards.
Mexico or
that's
if
right.
you're in Nevada or Arizona or
Panama
okay.
or anything else. Right?
Well, let's talk about Mojave Valley. So they're in Arizona. They have
right.
a full schedule.
Oh, that's on the Indian reservation. COVID don't go on the Indian reservation.
It does not.
Okay, perfect. Yeah,
they have their own rules.
There's no two race deal
for Mojave.
They don't follow the same rules as regular people.
It's on the Indian reservation. COVID knows where the Indian reservation
you can't
is.
Get COVID
it doesn't.
On
yeah,
the
it only goes up to the.
That's right.
And
the border.
Once you get to the
it waits for you.
It
waits
out.
For you when you
on your way out. It's gonna be like attacked by COVID.
That's how
what happened to
COVID
Cindy.
Is.
She got attacked by COVID. She found her in the desert.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah, she was.
So Nevada has no racing.
Well,
California
by choice.
By California
choice.
Has racing.
Yeah.
Arizona has racing.
Yeah.
Well, Nevada's
Arizona
by choice.
And California have
no,
higher COVID
no,
than
no,
Nevada. But hold on. Only certain places in California. But like Orange's not running.
That's because it's run. That's because it's the fairgrounds.
Right. But they're still
so
not
state,
racing.
So that
right.
a state fairground?
Well, it is.
It's
a county fairground. So they're going by
racing.
County rules.
Willow Springs
is in the middle of nowhere.
COVID knows that.
But
that's why California has the highest rate.
How's it
going to
get over the
has
hills
the second.
And the...
It so it could be the racer.
It's the mountains that hold the COVID back.
You get trapped in the mountains.
So if you're in the valley, it don't hurt.
Okay, so let's bring out Duel in the Desert. That's at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway
That's because they're under contract. That's the reason the SRL tour got to run, still under contract.
had to do it.
Yeah, or they were.
Yeah, they owed them that one. Yeah.
Some legal action there. So yeah, that's the reason for that.
All right. Well,
and then you know the Wheeler people or wherever there is, Bruton Smith. I'm sorry, not the Wheeler, but the Bruton Smith. He owns the racetrack. That's why the Legend races got to run there for a little while. So, but the autonomous vehicle thing, I guess they're taking over the
entire parking lot.
Well, they're not taking over the bullring, from what I've heard. I don't know if it's true or not. And you can't quote me on this thing, but what I've heard was the autonomous vehicles are going to go over behind the super speedway where the police stuff used to be handled over there, and the police coming over to the bullring parking lot. Mm. But the interesting part about that is that the bullring parking lot is, and even the autonomous stuff is not used on Saturdays and Sundays at all. They're not used. So there's no reason that the bullring has to sit empty on Saturdays or Sundays. So if you really wanted to run a race there, you could technically run a race.
You'd
there.
Have to rent it, though. I wonder if they'd
well,
run a track.
Well, I'm just saying the racetrack could run an event there. You open the racetrack, like most racetracks, at 7 o'clock in the morning. You open the gate. You get you're on track. You practice from 10 to 1. Your racing starts at 1. You're out of there by 4. You don't have to turn a light on.
Exactly.
So you don't even have to turn a light on. So you just can't run 9 different classes on every single race weekend because that takes too many hours.
I just don't understand why they have to use that parking lot. The Speedway has a lot of real estate out there. Why do they have to use that parking lot?
They probably have everything else
worked
out, actually.
Well, it doesn't cost them anything. It doesn't cost the Speedway a nickel to make money there. It doesn't cost them a nickel. They don't spend 10 cents on an employee.
But if they're not using the track part of it, if they're just using
the parking
lot,
where are you going to park?
Well, that's what I'm saying is that the Speedway has how many thousands of
what are you going to do? Drive from your drive, get ready for go to staging from the from
oh,
the
no, 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 no,
from the infield tunnel.
No, what I'm
saying with all your cars,
what I'm saying is the opposite. Why is the autonomous there? Why would the police thing be in that parking lot at the bullring?
They have leased out all the other parking lots if you look at that property.
Well, you also have, you know, the driving experience stuff. I don't know how much of that stuff is still running. You still got
all of it.
You know, if it's all still
Dream
running.
Dream and the other
yeah,
one, yeah.
The Dream ones. If it's all
because
still
those
running,
are
then
leased.
You can't be in there anyway because they're in there.
Those are leased. So that's what I'm saying. They're not going to put the bullring on because they don't have the staff anymore. They fired everybody. They don't want to do it. They have no interest in doing it. They don't make any money doing it. They're not race fans. But someone could probably lease it. For
well,
that reason, you could still have a
now,
race.
I heard this. They were willing to do that to, I guess, the SRL. And I guess it was a group of money that they were only way they were going to do it was, I mean, we're talking about
way
a serious
money.
Amount of money. Yeah. And they were like, no. That's why they're not on the schedule for this year. So I heard it was supposed to be
well,
really
Well, that's stupid because they
make
all their money leasing everything else. They don't even need the money.
Well, I mean, if you don't have to put out any overhead, you don't have to have any security, you don't have
I know.
To turn the lights
why
on, you don't have to do anything, then why not just rent the parking lot out? It's just business.
Exactly.
It's business.
But that
so.
Goes back to what I was saying before is if they're not going to do it, just come out and tell us, O-ring's closed. We're not doing it so everyone could play.
They don't even
on.
Have anybody on the staff around to tell us that. Everyone's gone.
Well, and
don't forget
now the
main LVMS.
The bullring still has a quarter mile on the infield and the road course on the inside. So you still have a road course on the outside. You can still run the road course, road racing, and run a whole season of road racing and never even bother the autonomous stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You could run a whole series of legend car racing, bandolero
and
racing.
That might happen after the cup race.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. There's a whole, I mean, I understand that they do run it out to motorcycle classes and SCCA or whatever those cars are that are running out. I've seen the car. I don't know what they do with them, but they could still run an entire legend bandolero series on the road course. You can run the short course. You can run the long course. You can run them, but you just like
well,
they do now.
We don't need their
right, but they, but the Super Speedway also has on the road course that's inside the Super Speedway. They have a quarter mile oval there. Now you can still run cars on the quarter mile there. We can run cars the quarter mile at Havasu. You could run cars on the quarter mile at the infield on the other side.
And
so,
and you can put people in the stands because there's more than enough.
No, there's no stands on that side. So because it's in the backstretch side of the racetrack,
yeah.
You could still.
They don't run.
Run
the quarter in the front. I thought they ran.
Well,
the
that, yeah,
front.
But you
yeah,
couldn't get you couldn't get a super late to go up the banking and then back down the banking again. You know, you'd end up killing the car. So you'd end up knocking the front end off because they're only this high off the ground. You know, so it would hurt the car.
Well, the duel in the desert, unfortunately, is February 13th and 14th. I say unfortunately because that is also the date of the Road Course Silver State Speed Challenge in Road Course Challenge in Mexico. So I can't do both.
What
yeah, you're supposed to help me bandos, Chuck. Give me some bandos.
You know what? I tried to get some of the other people from coming down from Arizona for the bandos, and they didn't. And they said they were going to come, and they didn't show up. So
beat them with a stick.
But I mean, there's two of my old bandos sitting here that haven't even came out. Gary Griffith got one of them. And
he said his daughter doesn't want to do road course.
Well, that's the best place for her to learn it. And I get it.
Yeah,
but
Gary,
that's the best place.
Gary's not even watching right now.
Yeah.
I already
that's the
up.
Best place for her to learn it is because, I mean, look, who was that kid? There was another kid out there on road course in the bando that was really slow. I mean, it wasn't out there setting the place on fire. Only two cars were, but that's the best place for the kids to learn the road course because mm-hmm. you got to steer left, you got to steer
left
right, you got to
right.
slow down and speed
and
up.
And brakes, yeah.
Yeah.
And gas, yeah.
Yeah.
But
that's the best place for them.
Yep. But if you're going to go to dirt, if you're going to not do the road course and you're going to go to the duel in the desert, they did add a skid plate car class. I mean, a
mini
four
stock.
Banger class.
Yeah, the mini stocks, yeah. Yeah, the little mini stocks. I heard the mini stock cars were going to go out there and run on that big half mile out there. So.
And they call them sport compacts. And my car's fully legal if I had...
You're going to take that crown off the top.
Nope. Cape and all, man.
Oh, man. I'm telling you right now, you'll blow that thing if you like bent back.
Fly my freak flag so bad, but no, I'll be doing this.
Yeah, that thing will be folded back, and the aerodynamic part of your car will be slow that car down a group.
You couldn't catch me anyways. Anyways, but there's no spectators. It's in Nevada. No spectators, but you can have as many entries as you want in the pits.
Yeah, you can have all your spectators in the pits.
I mean,
COVID knows if you're in the pits or in the stands.
They do.
It does,
yeah.
COVID knows.
And if you're a crew member, because a crew member can sit in the stands.
Oh, no.
But
no.
They don't get COVID. But if you were just a fan, not a crew member sitting in the stands,
you'll get
then
COVID.
You
yeah.
can get COVID.
See, COVID's smart.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
smart. Yeah. Just ask all these higher ups that.
But you are only allowed 10 crew member / pit passes per team.
But all that is just pushing responsibility. If they're in the stands, the track is responsible. If they're in the pits, it's your fault.
Yeah.
It's as easy as that. They're just covering their butts.
It's a simple process at the bullring. If we have a normal weekend crowd there, a normal weekend crowd, we don't have 25% capacity anyway. Them grandstands hold a lot of goddamn people.
I know. What's the difference?
I know. And you're still going to sell the same number of tickets no matter how you do it because we could not fill up. I mean, on 4th of July you do.
Right.
But other than that, you have a normal, you know, 2,000, 2,500 people. That you're not even at 50% of that grandstand. You're not even probably at 35% of that grandstand because
again,
that grandstand holds a lot of people, plus the stockyard.
My opinion is they're focused on the cup race. They've got to prove to have some fans, and that's all they're focused on right now. As soon as the cup race is over, they'll probably look at and COVID will be gone by then because isn't there an election like tomorrow or something?
Inauguration tomorrow.
Yeah. And then so COVID's going to go away and there's a vaccine. So everything's going to be different after the cup race is my prediction.
Yeah. And my phone died. So I ran out of power.
Yeah. Because now that NASCAR is going into music. So I guess
what?
The artist Daniel Suarez. His race team now has a new co-owner, which is Pitbull.
Oh, how cool.
Mm.
So now we have Michael Jordan and Pitbull into NASCAR.
So halftime shows are going to be amazing. We'll have to stop the race, do a little halftime show.
Yeah. Put a stop, red flags, put a concert on.
Well, they already
flag.
Do. They have
yeah.
the little, you know,
stages,
little
yes.
stages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stage
more
entertainment. Yeah. After three stages of racing, after the first stage win, you pull over, you park, you go
and
to your
get
stage.
A pit bull concert.
Yeah, yeah. Put a 10-minute concert on. Yeah, then stage two, and then the final stage, and then the concert after.
Oh,
yeah. Then after the second stage is the dunk competition.
Slam dunk competition.
Yeah. With Michael Jordan. And then he finished the race.
No.
That's cool.
You know, I so many people claim not to be watching NASCAR anymore. I don't know whether they do or don't. But for me, it's still my form of entertainment. I may not approve of what they're doing, but it's still my form of entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't understand all the political nonsense that's going on with everybody. But you know what? I'm still going to watch what I want to watch. I'm still going to look at my TV when I want to. And what are you going to do?
Well, just like any other history, you can't deny the history of NASCAR, where it came from, where it came from. You can't deny it. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I've just been watching it for so long. It's kind of a habit.
Uh-huh.
So what are you going to do?
Did you see Young Money win that Chili Bowl? Did you watch Chili Bowl at all?
Yeah, I did. I watched it on Facebook. That was awesome.
That was pretty cool.
You know what? I don't like
they
the fact that
they actually did it on TV. The main event was on TV.
It was on Facebook Live, and people had paid for a pay-per-view on that too.
Yeah.
I was like, sorry for you. I got it for free. So, but it was, yeah, man. I mean, that guy, he's talented, but I'd never watched a Chili Bowl before. I've always seen the results of it, but only 55 laps around that little racetrack. It took like 3 minutes. It was over.
Right. So, it's so
I'm like, damn, you guys needed like 155 laps, you know, so make a race out of it.
Yeah.
You know, that's somebody gets a chance to come from the back.
Did you see one guy actually did? He had to like do like the L, the M, the N, the P, the D, the F, all the way up to the B. And then on the last corner of the last lap got taken out.
Yeah.
Well, when he was in a transfer position of the A.
Yeah.
He did the alphabet soup, they said.
Yeah. Remember they had a little girl out here at the Bullring, at the Speedway in the Modified, do that a few years back. Some little girl was out there, and she went from like the E to the D to the C to the B, and she was just about there and didn't get there.
Oh.
And people were rooting for her.
Yeah.
I mean, this little girl was digging, man, but she had came from a long ways down that alphabet to get a transfer spot, and she did. She managed to pull it off. I mean, all the way, but didn't
the guy
the
that took that guy out of the Chili Bowl, he got disqualified.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard about that. I heard those, yeah. And then Tony Stewart made an announcement yesterday about why the trucks are not coming back to his track.
Oh, what did he say?
He made an official statement to the news. He said that he NASCAR did not choose to not run his track anymore. NASCAR had chosen to run the Bristol race and asked Tony Stewart. Tony Stewart asked, well, you're still going to, are we going to be able to do a cup race here just like you're doing at Bristol? And they said no. And Tony said, if you're not going to do a cup race here ever, he said, don't even consider it or something to that effect, we're not. He said, I don't want to renew your contract. So Tony says that NASCAR didn't quit him. He quit NASCAR.
All right.
So that's his official statement. He did not. They did not tell me or deny him.
Shout out to Old Guys Racing. Derek Cope is going to do the Daytona.
Really? Wow. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting. Yeah. Well. Let's see, who's going to be in Brendan Gaughan's car this year?
Noah
Gregson.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So Noah's going to get a chance to run at the Daytona 500 in Brendan Gaughan's car.
In equipment that can make it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Brendan didn't have a problem keeping the car up there near the front. So we'll see what Noah can do with that. That's going to be fun for him. He's going to be excited, I'm sure.
For sure.
He drove one of my Bandles out here at the road course one day. I had a spare Bandle sitting around not doing anything, and he was sitting up against the crash wall. And I said, no, you want to get my Bandle? He says, yeah, I will do. He took off over to Dustin Ash's shop, picked up a fire suit and a helmet and all that stuff, came back over there, jumped on my Bandle, took it around, made it. I'm like, damn, bro. Yeah, he did. He stuck in the fence, like turned 9 or something.
Oh,
like, dude.
What?
He said, the brakes failed. Really? I never had a brake failure before.
And did you get in it and notice the brake failure, or was it too far away?
The car was hammered. I didn't care about the brake failure. I had to fix the car.
Did he like help your drivers though with like tips?
No, he just happened to be in pit and a half over helping somebody with their legend car, or hanging out with not helping, just hanging out with somebody with their legend car over there. And I said, "Hey, the car is for you if you want to get in there." One of the drivers didn't show up.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in, Chuck. I know you were Plan B because of your grandson.
Yeah, Plan B. Yeah.
Well, we'll get him in after baseball season.
Yeah, we're doing football after that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I've been trying. I even asked your dad. Yeah, he never called me like that. But
yeah. He's a busy little boy.
He stays busy and he's working on his homework.